Good day, friends. We urge you to have confidence in the Lord. This is a vital thing as we associate our life with faith. I was reading just the other day from the writing of Jude, that one interesting chapter just before the great book of Revelation. And you remember that Jude said in verse 3 that he wanted the brethren to earnestly contend for the faith which had once been delivered unto the saints. We believe this faith that came, the one faith of which Paul spoke in Ephesians 4th chapter, was really the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the one thing we're to have faith in. It's a foundation to what we do to become a Christian. It's a foundation to the Christian life. In connection with this faith, I'd like to take your minds to the outstanding teaching that's found again in the second chapter of 1 John. While you're finding that place, we want you to keep in mind that this Spirit teaching series that is brought to you by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ is brought to you with a desire that it will impart to you some of the golden teaching that's found in God's Word. We can, in a series of this duration, impart all that we even know, and that doesn't mean we have a great knowledge of the Bible, but there are so many things that deal with the Spirit teaching that we have to select those things that will be a benefit, we think, to each and every person. They're all a benefit. But when we were looking at 1 John and preparing this series, we found especially in this second chapter, beginning with verse 24, a very interesting thought that indicates the need for confidence as we live for the Lord. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. We have mentioned to you before on broadcast that we believe that when one is cleansed from his sin, that he has truly a down payment upon eternal life. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, that you might want to check out, indicates that the pledge or the down payment or the earnest money, so to speak, in using that term, is associated with our obedience to the gospel. We are to continue faithful unto death that we might receive a crown of life, as John wrote in Revelation 2 and 10. As Paul wrote in Galatians 6 and 9, we are not to become weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And then this wonderful teaching here that he wants us to abide in that gospel that we have heard from the beginning. Some years ago, I remember having an opportunity to speak in a three-day meeting. They were referred to way back at that time as mass meetings. In other words, there was a mass of people who came together from all parts of the country, and we'd sit down together and talk about God's Word. One exhortation that I was given was an exhortation that dealt especially with what is the faith. And I remember especially in connection with that teaching of finding in research that the faith truly was that which came on the day of Pentecost as the apostles received from on high that glorious teaching. It was a teaching that was complete in every situation. We mentioned to you that the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 1 and 3 unfolded a marvelous truth when he said his divine power, apparently referring to this very Spirit that brought the teaching, hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And so I thought this wonderful thing that we're called upon to believe, and what faith truly is that which first of all came from on high. After all, the apostles had been told by Jesus just before he returned to heaven, in Luke 24 and 49, to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until he should be endued with power from on high. Now someone might ask, well, what are you going to do with this gospel when it comes before your life? Well, I am sure that we should take the admonition in principle that James gave in James 1:21. Listen to those wonderful words. James says to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and to receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save our soul. How wonderful it is to realize that we can have the confidence in this word. It is that which has, indeed, the ability to tell us what to do to be saved. And when he mentions that we are to receive with meekness, this shows the attitude that we must have toward the gospel. This shows an attitude that is associated with a confidence that is found in faith. So from the beginning, when a person hears the word, believes it, repents of their sin, confesses with their mouth what they believe in their heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and then is baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, truly in his name, then we understand the individual builds upon a platform of faith. Paul made this clear again as he wrote to the Romans, and we're giving you a number of passages If you ever miss a passage and you want it, feel free to drop us a card or letter. We'll send it to you without cost or obligation. This time in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. That's that wonderful passage that has the word Spirit found in it twice. The first word Spirit referring to the Holy Spirit, the second word Spirit referring to the spirit of man. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. I'm wondering, as we talk to you on the broadcast today, if you have the confidence that you are a child of God. Now, the point might be that if you have only gone part of the way in becoming a Christian, then you can't have that confidence. When the searchlight of God's Word will be placed upon your conversion, you're going to see that you've fallen short of the mark. I was in a conversation with a good lady not too long ago, and she was a very outstanding person. She wanted to study the Bible. I respect her a great deal. And I told her, in making a decision regarding the Bible, whatever it might be, don't just go halfway. And I want to say that principle is true. To have the confidence that is needed in Christian living, let's keep this point in mind that we must go all the way in the service of the Lord. So when John wrote here in the 24th verse of the second chapter of 1 John, 1 John 2 and 24, let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is a promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. So if you're a Christian today, the Lord has given you a promise, looking forward to that marvelous home of the soul. Do be faithful unto death, that you might truly qualify to receive the promise that he's made possible. He made the promise possible to those who would live godly in Christ Jesus. That truly must be the requirement as we go through the Christian life. Then I like to key in on the thought, let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. This means that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not going to be altered or changed. And I like to just offer a thought that I'd like to have you think about on the broadcast today. You know, I suppose I have most translations of the Bible. I don't probably have everyone. I'm sure that's true. Many of us do not have everyone. But I have many translations of the Bible. And the only thing that bothers me when a person gets into various translations is when someone perhaps goes overboard on a certain translation that has impressed them perhaps about one or two statements. Now, don't misunderstand me. We're not saying that if you look into another translation of the Bible, that you're doubting what the Lord has given. We're not taking that position. But the point I'm trying to bring out, it would seem that some translations of the Bible that I've looked at are hardly more than commentaries. And you know, it's much like the lady who got the idea about religion, I don't know where she got it, that we told you about in one of the past broadcasts. She thought the way out of this situation regarding division and indecision on the part of people was just simply to look at it as though you were in a grocery store and you were picking out a kind of cereal that you would want. Well, the same thing might be true with cat or dog food. But you see, the Lord actually doesn't want us to follow a course of indecision. He wants us to realize that his word, and that's the very teaching that we have in the Bible, is going to be constant, is going to be the same. So if you want to know what a word really means in the Bible, don't go overboard on a translation. But simply find out as you check the lexicon, the Hebrew or the Greek, whichever it might be, finding out what that word means. Now, we do that in the English language. We do that when we're trying to find what a word really means. And if you look back there in that lexicon, and if you don't know how to use one, I'm sure you can get one at a library. You can be instructed about how to use one. Don't misunderstand me. You don't have to have that to understand the Bible. But the point I'm trying to make is the teaching that we look at in the Word of God must meet the scrutiny of the plan God has given. So I would say that there are many thoughts that are offered in translations that are good. I look on this broadcast at the King James translation, not because I believe that it would be wrong for me to look at any other translation, but when I look at this, I can find out what these words mean. And so when I look at the teaching that we're giving to you on the broadcast today, that he wants them to abide in that which ye have heard from the beginning. I look right back at what the people did to become Christians. I find out what they did to worship God. I find out what they did to live the Christian life. Now, I don't have the answer, but we believe the Word of God does. So what I'm trying to say to you on the broadcast today, it isn't necessary for a religious group to have a certain big conference every so often to actually determine what the Bible teaches, to determine how they're going to interpret it, to determine actually what the Christians are to believe during the next 5 or 10 years. I believe that you can take your copy of the Bible and you can find out conclusively what God wants you to do to be saved. I have to have confidence that God indeed has given us that which will be for the salvation of our soul. And I don't believe this is going overboard at all to say that if the Lord sent his son to die upon the cross and then to receive benefit of that death, he sent the gospel. I don't believe that he's going to let this gospel be wiped off the face of the earth. So as I look at the Word of God and reading it and studying it and meditating upon it, I find it very clear that he wants us to have the confidence that God is in heaven, that Christ is upon the throne, that his word is true, and that we'll simply look into that word. We'll try to find out what that word means. We'll try to understand its great teaching. Now, I want to suggest to you, again, we don't have all the answers, but we believe the Bible does. So if there is a problem bothering you or a question regarding your soul salvation, feel free to drop us a card or letter. You can drop it to the station that you're listening to at the present time. Send it to the Church of Christ that sponsors this broadcast. Now, if you want us to answer that question, eventually that'll get to our hand, and we'll try to give you a Bible answer if we possibly can. So the Spirit teaching on the broadcast today is simply have confidence in what the Lord has given. May God bless you as you obey His truth. Listen for time of services of the Church of Christ that brings you this broadcast. Tell a friend or neighbor about the broadcast and be with us next time as once again we take a look at what the Spirit has taught through the marvelous Word.